Mishnah Yomis for Wednesday, the 26th day of Nisan Tavshin Pei Beis. Masechta Keloim, Perek Tashi'i, the Masechta Mishnah Aleph. This Perek is going to deal with Shatnas, going to deal with Keloim in clothes. There is a difference between Keloim of clothes as opposed to Keloim mixture of wild animals that you can't work with two different animals, and that is that whereas in the case of the animals, although the Torah specifies ox and a donkey together, do not plough an ox and donkey together, it actually means not just an ox and a donkey, they're only examples. It applies to any two different varieties of animals. In the case of shatnas, in the case of fabrics, when the Torah specifies wool and linen, it is not an example, it's only wool and linen. And wool is defined as the wool of a lamb or a ewe or ram, but not of any other animal, as we'll learn in the Mishnah. Says the Mishnah, Ein osur mishum kelayim elot semer ufishtim. The only thing that's osur because of diverse kinds of fabrics is wool and linen. As the Torah says, lo silbash shatnas semer ufishtim yachtov. And the Torah here means only wool and linen and nothing else. No other fabric. Wool, of course, as we said, is defined as coming from a sheep, ewes or rams. Ve'einoi mitame ban goyim elot semer ufishtim. Similarly, when it talks about plagues occurring to tsaras, occurring to the garments or clothes, it's only wool and linen that can be affected by tsaras. We don't have to regard any other fabric, even if they show signs of tsaras on it. It's nothing. You don't have to. It's not tummy. Furthermore, ein hakoyanim loivshin l'shamesh beveis hamikdash elot semer ufishtim. So also koyanim, when they served in the beis hamikdash, they could only wear clothes of wool and linen, or only wool or only linen, but no other fabrics. And even though there were shatnas, in the case of the belt, for example, the avnate, it says clearly in the Torah there was linen and twined linen and blue wool and purple wool. Nevertheless, that's something special. The Torah gives a special, not only permission, but actually asks that it should be made of this material in the Beis HaMikdash. Continues the Mishnah. Tzemer gemalim v'tzemer rochelim shetrofen zeh bazeh. What happens if a person mixed the wool of camels and the wool of a ram or a sheep together? And so he's got a mixture of the wool. Im roiv ben agmalim, if most of that mixture happens to be made up of camel wool, mutter, you're allowed to mix even linen with it, because the wool of the sheep has now been nullified, its bottle, in the wool of the camels. And there's no din of kloim. It's regarded all as camel wool together with linen, even though you know there is wool there. V'im roiv ben arachelim, but if most of the mixture happens to be sheep wool, then also, then it's prohibited to mix this wool in the linen because of the Isra of Kilayim. Mechza la mechza, what happens if it was half? Half of it was wool of camel wool, half of it is sheep wool. Also, it's also prohibited to mix that mixture with linen because so long as the wool of the sheep has not been nullified in the roiv, in the majority of another fabric, it's forbidden to me, to forbidden because of Kilayim, of Shatnas, to mix it with linen. Similarly with linen and hemp, that he mixed them together, made a fabric out of it. That will also be judged in the same way. If most of the material is hemp, then you're allowed to mix it with wool. If most of the material is linen, is pishton, then it's considered like pishtim, like linen, and you cannot mix it with wool. Mishnah base. Hashiroim. Nishiraim is a type of silk which looks like linen. V'hakolach, that's another type of silk which has a yellowish, a golden color, and it looks more like wool. Like wool. It feels like wool. Ein bahen mishum kelaim. There's no din of kelaim with either of these silks, with wool or linen, even when they're joined with each other, the shiraim with the kalach. That means the wool-like silk and the The linen like silk and the wool like silk, if you mix them together, there's no kelaim because it's still all silk. It's not wool and linen. Aval asur mipnei maris ayin. But it's still forbidden midrabbanan to mix the two together because people start to think, oh, look, the guy's wearing shatnas, or he's mixed together shatnas. Interesting that the Bar Tanura brings down that this prohibition midrabbanan was only in the old days where they didn't have much linen and they didn't understand or they couldn't recognize different types of linen. And that's where different types of silk, I should say. They didn't have silk. And they wouldn't recognize the different varieties of silk. So they could make this mistake to think that it could be wool and linen together. But nowadays, says the Bar Tanura, where there's a lot of silk in our areas, everyone knows and has got used to them already, there's no isser in any type of silk with wool or with linen. Hakorim baksosais, what about cushions or sheets which are made of wool and linen? Cushions and pillows. Ein b'hem mishum kalaim. There's no din of kalaim, even if they're made of wool and linen. And you're allowed to sit on them or lean against them. The Torah only doesn't allow us to wear them. You're allowed to have them in your house, though. You're allowed to sit on them. And the Torah says, lo yale alecha. You shall not have shatnas that can rise up on you. But underneath you, yeah, no problem. However, uvilvach lo yeh besor negebem. Make sure that your meat, that your skin should not be touching them. If your skin is touching them, then it's as if you have kelaim on you put kelaim on you. The Shalmi explains that and qualifies the mission and says, when is this said? When do we say that there's no problem of kelaim with cushions and pillows and quilts? That's if they're empty, they're not filled with any stuffing, and they are on a chair or on a pillow. But if they're full, or even if they're empty, but they're on a bed, you can't lie in them. Because inevitably, you'll find that the wool and linen fabric will bend around you or fold under you, and it'll somehow wrap around your body, and therefore it is Issur Kelaim. Ein Arai L'Kelaim, says the Mishnah further, there's no din of being temporary, to have some sort of exemption for a temporary wearing of Kelaim. So you can't even wear it temporarily. V'lo Yilbash Kelaim, one shouldn't wear kelaim afil gabasore. You can't wear shatnas even on top of 10 clothes, even though you're not having at all, no at all from the kelaim. You're not having any benefit from the kelaim. Doesn't matter. You should not wear a kelaim even if you're on top of 10 clothes. I feel ligan of samachas. Even if you want to wear the shatnas to cheat, to be able to steal, to cheat the tax collector. The tax collector used to collect taxes from a person who was wearing those clothes, and he's wearing kelaim. He's putting clothes on only for that reason, just to get around that, because they never charge taxes on the clothes you're wearing. So that too can't be worn, even for such a purpose. The Gemara Bava Kami explains that what type of a tax collector we're talking about? We're talking about the unscrupulous ones. These are ones that set their own tariff, and they would actually collect whatever they chose. They're not considered legal tax collectors at all. Also, they are self-appointed people, and they were acting illegally. That's why there's no question, no problem about cheating, because we're cheating the cheats. But a proper tax collector who has been appointed by the government, then of course, in addition to the problem of shatnas, of trying to wear these clothes, there is another prohibition, and that is going against the law of the government. Dinah l'chus ha-dinah. That would be a further complication, says the Gemara.